To anyone who endured the dark days of the Great Recession with the near-death ordeals of General Motors and Chrysler, it seems nearly impossible to believe it, but the help-wanted sign is out at the car makers and their parts suppliers. The Center for Automotive Research predicts the auto industry will add 35,000 jobs this year. One auto supply executive calls it an employee's market. We wondered, is this a true hiring spree? Can this be seen as a return to the glory days of the car industry? Or should we keep our collective guard up for fear of easily sliding back into the dark days of soft sales and layoffs? Let's dig into what's behind these new jobs and how likely the good times are going to last. Joining us is the Chairman Emeritus of the Center for Automotive Research, David Cole. Welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
Well, David, as we mentioned, your group's expecting the industry to add 35,000 jobs this year. And, of course, we saw the June sales figures and cars and trucks selling at that annual pace, closing in on 16 million vehicles. So that's a level we haven't seen since mid-2007. Would you have predicted such robust hiring and sales activity in 2013 when things were so bad just a few short years ago?
Well, actually, we did. When you consider how low the lows were during the Great Recession, 10.5 million unit sales, there certainly was going to be pent-up demand. We had to see some increase in consumer optimism. So I think we envisioned that there were going to be some strong sales years. We're still not back to some of the peak years that we had a number of years ago, however. So there's still more to go in that respect. The people problem is really a huge issue. And in fact, it's kind of ironic that as the jobs appear, that we don't really have the workforce with the appropriate skills and training to be a part of those jobs or to take those jobs. And this is one of our challenges when you consider that back in the Great Recession, everybody restructured. The big three reduced their capacity by about 3 million units. The job bank disappeared. Tremendous contraction. Now as it is coming back, it's at the same time as the boomer exit is accelerating. So what we have now is a great many people leaving the industry, even at a low base. So there are new jobs. With all of those jobs, even an assembly line job now, is a job that requires people with a fairly substantial amount of education. So it's a very interesting problem that it's not that we don't have the job openings. We don't have the workforce.
And who is most in demand, David? White collar or blue collar, or is it across the board?
It's pretty much across the board, but I was a part of the governor's economic summit last March, and it was interesting when you talk to the business folks, they rank ordered the skill requirements, and number one were skilled trades and technicians. Number two were engineers that have electromechanical skills. Down the list were nurses and doctors, but the problem of job openings and lack of a skilled workforce is pretty much universal right now. It's a huge issue. It's also interesting when you talk about blue collar, and that's what we normally would think about as
right.
skilled trades and technicians. For some reason in our society, we have looked at those as second-class jobs. And they are not at all. These are very high-skilled tech jobs. If you go, for example, to Germany, these jobs are really highly revered. People understand how important they are. But for some reason, we began to view that a great job was a part of finance or service or tech, and one of those technician or skilled trade jobs was sort of a low-level job. That's not true at all. These are very high-paying jobs. Require a substantial amount of skill, and it's not a sin to work with your hands. It's ultimately extremely important. It's one of the things that we're very concerned about in our country in general with respect to manufacturing. Manufacturing is an industry that has a very high multiplier, meaning for every job in that industry, there are lots of other jobs. In fact, for an auto manufacturer, it's right at the top of the list. And that multiplier is about 9 or 10, meaning for every job at an auto manufacturer like a GM, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, whoever, there are 8 or 9 other jobs in the economy, either in suppliers or spinoff jobs. And when you consider that, say, comparison to that really cool Wall Street job with a multiplier of about 2, we have to have manufacturing. We have to make things in our economy if we're going to be a successful country. And we kind of lost that focus.
We're speaking with the Chairman Emeritus of the Center for Automotive Research, David Cole, looking at the predictions of the auto industry adding 35,000 jobs in 2013. And David, we're seeing this not just with the OEs and the supply base, aren't we?
Across the board. Of course, there's not as many suppliers as there once were. I mean, the restructuring that occurred was just massive. And when you think that what we had expected going into the recession is a recession level of auto sales of about 14 million, but what we got was not a recession, was a depression level down about 10.5 million. So this had a huge impact on the industry. And as I said, with that collapse, plus as we grow, at the same time boomers are exiting, has created a serious talent problem, and that's it's going to continue for some time. But what everybody needs to realize is that even an assembly line worker, that job that somebody could perform literally as a school dropout, requires today a minimum of a two-year community college degree. It's a different world. Just to kind of tell you a quick little story, let's say three people walked into a factory. They were school dropouts 40 years ago. There was a foreman. The foreman said, just do exactly what I tell you to do repetitively for 8 hours a day and everything will be fine. As you move forward from there, the foreman's gone. It's a self-directed work chain. The technology has changed dramatically. Now it's 40 years after they started that job and they're ready to leave. Those three people are replaced by one person that doesn't not have that 40 years to learn the technology, has to come in knowing the technology. So the minimum education is a two-year community college degree to replace those three. And then that person has to be committed to a lifelong learning experience because change is continuing at a very rapid rate. It's a different world. And for some reason, we got caught short and we really are not, we don't have the people that are really needed. It's one of the reasons that we're looking at a couple of projects. One is called Building America's Tomorrow, which is not for profit, aimed at getting K through 12 kids to think about manufacturing and related jobs in manufacturing for a career. In most cases, they don't today.
Right.
Another thing we're looking at is what we call the experience connection, to connect retirees that have experience with jobs. For example, GM is bringing back about 200 retirees just to assist with product launches. This is a very experience-based part of the industry when you launch a new product, and they just don't have the people to do it. So it's a very rapidly changing world, and our concern is that we don't have the talent to fill those 35,000 jobs. And it's kind of like a few years ago we were talking about offshoring for cheap labor. You know, let's go to China, let's go to Indonesia, let's find cheap labor.
Sure.
Now we have become so productive that you could assemble a car in China, for example, at zero cost, and the cost of transportation is greater than the labor savings. Mm-hmm. So what we're concerned about now is not offshoring for cheap labor, it's offshoring for skilled labor because we don't have it here. Lean is not good enough anymore. It's lean agile, the ability to shift and change. If you look at where they make bodies, we think of that as the body shop. Everything is driven by software and robots. And the technicians that are required to deal with those issues are very sophisticated people. They have to have hands-on skills. They have to understand how things work, not be afraid to get their hands dirty, but they have to have a lot of mind power to be able to function. There was an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal a few months ago about Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is a big manufacturing center.
Yes.
Very high unemployment, lots of job openings, and a mismatch between those that wanted jobs and those that the skills that those jobs required. And then a little short piece on the local community college that was training technicians and skilled tradespeople, and it was only running at 70% of capacity. Somehow we have not brought the message to our population that there are great jobs. These are jobs of the future, and people are not focusing on the education to prepare for those jobs.
Now, let's talk about the future, David Cole. How long do you think this is going to last? We look at this, do we want to call this a hiring spree, or do we want to be more wary with the way we characterize it?
I think it's going to last for some time. If you look just at the boomer issue, we're just into that period. And to give you a couple of numbers, in 5 years in our general economy, and this is all kinds of skilled jobs, we'll be short about 10 million skilled people because of the size of the boomers compared to the follow-on generation. And in 15 years, that grows to 30 million. So what we're talking about is a very substantial demand push for some time. And for young people that have the skill, it's a terrific opportunity. For people that don't have the education and skill, it's going to be a pretty dismal period.
We've been talking about the auto industry hiring spree. Chairman Emeritus of the Center for Automotive Research, David Cole, has been our guest. David, thank you so much for being on the program.
It has been my total pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.